I'll never be the same. Oh, 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 oh. I hear you breaking chains. 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 I hear you call my name. I'll never be the same. Oh, 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 oh. I hear you call my name. I'll never be the same. Oh, 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 oh. I hear you call my name. I'll never be the same. Oh, 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 oh. I am here for you to worship you. This moment will not pass me by. 'Cause I'm in love with you, in awe of you. I'm giving everything, I'm giving everything away.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God, he calls our name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I apologize for being late this morning. I don't like making a habit of that. God deserves for us to be on time. Mm-hmm. And I repent. And I apologize. Some days you let things get too busy and too crazy, and you let God get pushed aside. Don't make that a habit. It came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up into Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. Sometimes life gets so full of things that you don't know, is God really there? Is he on my side? Has he got my back? And there came a man of God. Thank God that God will bring men and women into people's lives. And spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord of God, is he of the hills? Is he not the God of the valleys? Therefore, I will deliver all the great multitude into thy hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord thy God. In the good times, in the bad times, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the light, in the darkness, life has many turns and twists. But thank God we can gather together in a house of God on a day of worship and remind ourselves and encourage one another in the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I walked in the door, this morning, I knew God was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the very back pew, just felt the sweet presence of our Lord. Tom must have done a great job.
Right. Amen.
I'm sorry I missed it. Let's worship God.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you, center of it all. At the center of it all. At the center of it all.
Darkness, though now we see in part, but
now we're warmed by the burning flames of the fire in our hearts. You promised you would lead us to your throne, where we will worship you and you alone. And we will give you glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. Glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. Glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory. We will give you glory, glory. And we will give you glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are our King.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Everybody but Elder Sister Kellum, she has a testimony she would like to give, and we're going to allow her to do that this time. Go ahead. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Department heads meeting. There's a department head meeting here at the church tonight, 6 o'clock. If you're head of department, hopefully you know that. And you know that you are needed here tonight. We've already sent out notices and, you know what people need to bring, that sort of stuff. So there will not be any other activities here at the church other than our discipleship class. Our discipleship class will go from 4:30 to probably to about 5:15 tonight. It'll be a little shorter in the session tonight, but that'll happen here in the afternoon, and then the department heads meeting. And then Wednesday night, we are finishing up our Understanding the End Time series. It'll be the last lesson in the series, Understanding the End Time. And then a week from this Sunday, regularly scheduled services on Sunday morning. But we will start our Financial Peace University training. We have ordered the material for those of you that put your name upon the list. And so we should be receiving that material sometime this week. And we will get that distributed to you. Also coming up this week, obviously, our midweek service. But then on Thursday, those of you that will be willing and able to help us in making some more batches of peanut brittle. Is 6:30 still a good time, Sister Davis, for everybody to gather? All right, 6:30 this coming Thursday night. Gather together, help us make some more peanut brittle. And Lord knows we're going to have some more colder weather. It's nice right now, but we know the winter's not over. And so with the colder weather, it seems to do better and sell better. And so we're going to make some more, and that's happening this coming Thursday night. Other events, Friday night, lock-in here at the church for the kids here. And there will be some that Brother and Sister Woods have spent time, and there will not be any newbies. And what I mean by that is we're not just bringing people in that we don't know. There will be young people that will be helping. It's mainly for ages 6 to 11, time of games and fellowship and getting together. But there will be some young people and youth helping. But everybody that will be here will be people that have been known for quite a while and that we trust. And so you are not in any way, shape, or form jeopardizing the safety of your children. I promise you that. My children will be here as well this coming Friday night. And that means I'm going to get a date night. But that's happening as well. They're clapping like that's the only time I ever take you out on a date. That's not true. Anyhow, why don't you stand and open your Bibles? Thank you once again, Brother Kreger, for a wonderful word this morning. Been contemplating last week. We got into some wonderful discussion in our discipleship course, and I always welcome dialogue and interaction, and I'm sure there will be more discussion today in our discipleship course, but and I'll be as I was with them. There are some things, there are some questions that asked. Maybe I don't have all the answers for, but I've been kind of mulling over in my mind some discussion that we had, and reference to obviously we believe in the sufficiency of Christ and baptized in His name, and how that baptism is past, present, and future. And the question was brought up, but what about those that once they've been baptized turn away from God? Obviously, we have multiple scripture that talks about losing out and being lost. But this I've come to know, and in prayer and questioning God along those lines, this I've come to understand and realize in reference to that subject and others along those lines. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. The way I see it, everything hinges upon faith. Salvation hinges upon faith. Understanding the application of the blood for the remission of sins hinges upon faith. So everything hinges upon faith. So much so that the verse in the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's Bible. And so what I've got to do is I've got to answer questions along this line. There's some things that just boil down to faith. Whether someone ultimately makes heaven their home or not, I'm going to tell you this. The basis and the foundation of that is simply and utterly faith. It's faith. Because if I truly believe, as Brother Tom talked about here this morning in such a wonderful way, if I truly believe, then there will be works that happen as a result of that faith. If I truly believe that the name of Jesus Christ remits my sin, I don't then go out and live in sin. Make sense? It's not what I'm preaching on this morning, but I just... It's amazing to me. It really is. And the more... And this is not my notes either, so you're just going to have to bear with me for a few moments. I'm just... I don't know what I'm doing, but I don't do this very often, but just hang tight. I'm wondering if people are really wanting to know God. Because this I've come to learn in my walking relationship with, obviously I'm still growing and maturing and learning and making mistakes and failing and falling, and but as I'm growing in my walking relationship with a God, I I realize the more I read his word, the more I pray, the more I'm in service, the more I'm interacting with his presence, the more real he becomes to me. The more I realize that the word of God is eternal, and it's not just the figment of someone's imagination or many men's imagination. And so I wonder if there are many people who are actually scared to know God. Because if they interact with the word, and if they go to church, and if they will start to realize that it's real. And so if I start to realize that it's real, well, then there's things that really must be done. And so I think many people are very apprehensive about launching out into that unknown because, quite frankly, they don't want it to become a known. Because if I truly start believing that there is a God and his word is true and it's applicable to my life, well, then I have to come to a crossroad that says I have to do something about that. There is something about, if I truly, see, that's where faith and works come about. If I truly start believing, let's just take an atheist who says, well, there is no God. You can't prove to me there is a God, so on and so forth. Well, I know that there is a God because I have an experience and a relationship with God. And if you give that opportunity, and let's say hypothetically an atheist just says, well, I'm going to read the Bible. As a result of reading the Bible, they start considering, well, maybe they start checking some facts and they start looking at history and they start realizing, maybe this thing isn't a joke. All of a sudden, the Lord starts becoming real to them. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. And there starts to become a thirst and a hunger to know whether or not this is true. Based upon that adventure and that journey, as he becomes more and more real, well, then there's things I really must do in accordance with the understanding that he is real. Like you stated earlier, Sister Davis, some things that as we read them and talk about speaking in other tongues, talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ, things that on the surface do seem, according to the carnal man and our own analytical mind and logic, they seem preposterous. They seem like, really? You guys believe all that? Guess what? I'm still coming to the understanding of things. Some of these things are still becoming more and more real to me. And that's why I enjoy the journey. And I realize that there is something there. There is something there that fills the gap between who God truly is and who I know him to be. Because let's face it, with each and every one of us, maybe you think you know everything there is to know about God, but I guarantee you do not. And there is a huge disparity between who God truly is and who I know him to be. What fills that gap is grace. But here's the thing. I want to narrow that gap between who he truly is and who I know him to be. And so I search. And so I pray. And so I come to church. And so I seek to find. And I knock so it's open. And I'm changed into his image, the Bible says, from glory to glory, from experience to experience, from prayer meeting to Bible study to revival service, from glory to glory to glory. And he's more real to me this morning than he was Friday night. Maybe I should just preach that, but that's the beauty. And if you know my favorite book of the Bible, I love all the Bible. Please understand that. Love the book of John. Numero uno. Well, numero dos is becoming Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. That's where I'm going to preach from this morning. Hebrews chapter number 4, in reading in verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Remember, what fills that gap between all that he truly is and who I know him to be is grace. Because of what Jesus did for you and I, even though I don't truly know everything there is to know about it, and I'm still learning about his precepts and his principles, and I'm still being drawn to him and to his word, even though there is a disparity between who he truly is and who I know him to be, there is a disparity between his holiness and perfection and my unholiness and my imperfection. Grace that is in the gap is because of Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, I can come boldly. I can come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful presence that is in this place this morning, God. We thank you, God, that we have opportunity to worship you and to serve you, God. We thank you that you are, God, opening our hearts and our minds to receive more and more revelation concerning who you are and how you work. Lord, I pray that you would once again, God, enlighten our eyes, God. Open us to see you, God, to see your glory, God, that we may know you more fully, God, that we may see you in the way in which you work, God. That we would be changed into your image once again from glory to glory, God. That we would press toward the mark of the high calling, God. That we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. Grace to help in time of need. There is no greater need for all of mankind than the need for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. There is no greater need for all of mankind than the need for Jesus. Recently, a popular gospel artist named Kirk Franklin released a song that resonates with the sentiments of many believers. For some of the lyrics of that song state, "Power fall down, bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see, and God, please fix me. My world needs you right now. Let us see you right now." The more I see in the present situations that surround our lives, the more evident it becomes that we live in a society that is bent towards evil. The more I am aware of how desperately we need Jesus. Those with any spiritual aptitude at all should realize hope in any systems of this world or reliance on anything or anyone outside the ark of safety found in Jesus Christ is simply and utterly futile. For our hope should be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm often astounded how that many times it takes great calamity, some kind of catastrophic occurrence, before people begin to recognize their great need for God. Something has to happen in the life. Maybe it's a dissolution of a marriage, or maybe it's a terminal diagnosis, or maybe it's something that happens on a global front or an international front, or even on our American soil. I remember watching as, some of you may remember that not long after 9/11, after the planes flew into the World Trade Center and the towers crumbled, how that bipartisanship was put aside, and how they came together and they all began to sing "God Bless America." And I thought to myself, what a great tragedy it is that it takes a tragedy to get people to recognize the need.
that we need for God to bless America. It even happens on an individual front, how that people, when dire circumstances arise, or when disaster strikes, when an unexpected death occurs, or destruction of a dear relationship becomes a reality, it's then the necessity for God is noticed. Then we want to talk about eternity. Then we want to talk about a heaven. When that individual that I held dear in my life, I have to look and realize that they have passed from this life. Well, then I'll be willing to listen about the hereafter. Right now, I'm okay. Right now, I really don't need all that stuff. Right now, I really don't know. Because if I truly start knowing, then it's going to require something of me in regards to that knowledge. So let me just hear it when I really need to hear it. Let me just think about it when circumstances would dictate that I do so. But all the other times, just leave that alone. Don't mess with me in my everyday living. Don't talk to me about my need for God in everyday life. I recognize it when something drastic takes place. Well, then I'll look to Him. Then I'll decide I need Him in my life. Then I'll make Him a priority for that particular point in time. Once that passes and once those emotions are gone, or once the days are far spent, well, then it's back to business as usual. And I may think about Him occasion, but really it doesn't occupy much of my mindset. Stay with me. But you see, the more I grow in my relationship with God, the more mindful I become of my need for Him. Not just in the big stuff. Not just in the strong struggles. Not just in the disasters. And not just in the troubles. And not just in the tribulations. Not just in the persecutions. Not just in those major things. I need Him in all the minor stuff. I need Him in the evenly insignificant, seemingly insignificant stuff. Therein I find a growing and a greater need for Jesus. Every day, in every way, day by day by day, I need Him. I need His direction in my life. Now we understand that when we look at this world, there is a great need. When I truly introspect and become introspective about my own life, I realize there is a great need. It's amazing. I know when we look back, when we first came to God, we said, man, I really needed Him then. I really needed it. Listen, I've come to realize I need Him just as much now as I did then, if not more. The more I come to understand, the more, and it's not a need that comes from this type of false humility. It's a need that comes from understanding just how great He is. It comes from an understanding that He does have all the answers. And He's able. And while the need is great, the Bible says we have a great high priest. There is one who is up to the task. Oh, I thought I was preaching some apostolics. One who is already passed into the heavens and who is already victorious. He's already fought the fight. The one who said in John 16:33, in this world, in the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm talking about that one. I'm talking about that Jesus. I'm talking about the one who we serve, who has already overcome it all. Don't become overwhelmed. Don't think the opposition is too great or the circumstances too dire. Don't, whatever the situation is, be it big, be it small, it really doesn't matter. He's already passed into the heavens. He's already made the grade. He's already passed the test. He's already been victorious. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. But this man, because he continueth forever, he passed into the heavens, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up the sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once. Calvary was enough. Calvary was sufficient. For the law, look at verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. The flawed. They're not perfect. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, Jesus Christ, who is consecrated forevermore. Can I summarize that for you? The law was flawed, but the embodiment of the law was flawless. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. The law was flawed, but Jesus Christ was flawless. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Listen, when John saw Jesus on the banks of the Jordan coming to him, the Bible says this is what John said. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It doesn't get any better than that. He takes away the sins of the world. He's taking away the sins of the world. So if we can believe that he can take away the sins of the whole world, why can we not believe that he can take away pain? That he can take away disease? That he can take away heartache? That he can take away addiction? If he can take away the sins of the whole world, what's a little addiction? If he can take away the sins of the whole world, what's a little ailment? If he can take away the sins of the whole world, what's a little disease? What's a little addiction? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know what that means? Let me summarize again. That means there is no feeling, no emotion, there is no heartache, there is no pain, there is no rejection, there is no fear, and whatever else you want to think of that he did not experience. He's already wrestled with it and won. He's already wrestled with it and been victorious. There is no temptation that has taken you, which is uncommon to man. You need to understand, whatever I'm dealing with, or whatever you're dealing with, he's already been through it, and he's already won, and he's already victorious. There is no battlefield he has not fought on and already staked a flag of victory. He's overcome. He's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. It's already been settled. In Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as uncharted territory. Listen, catch this. I may not be able to empathize with your situation because I haven't been there. But he can, because he has. You're never going to find yourself in a place that has somehow caught Jesus off guard. You're never going to find yourself in a situation where Jesus is looking from heaven, I don't know what to do about that. Well, what you got yourself into? Good luck. And I know I'm being a little bit humorous, but we need to understand just how sufficient He is. Somewhere along the line, we need to realize just who it is we serve. And it will cause us to hold fast our profession. It will cause us to tighten our grip on what really matters. It'll cause us to recognize it does matter that I'm in service. It does matter that I make it a priority in my life. It does matter that it supersedes everything else. It does matter that I do everything within my power to keep myself and my family and those I love around the things of God. Why? Because it keeps me holding fast. I have a great need. So I need to hold to a great God. I don't know about you, but I ain't good enough to miss a lot of church. Oh, now I'm going to start preaching. I'm not good enough. I know I miss a service or two, and there's something wrong. I know I miss some time in the presence of God. And if it doesn't stir me, and I can go about life casually, I better wake up and realize something. I don't recognize my need like I should. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Just on weekends, I need thee. Just on Mondays, I need thee. No, every hour, I need thee. I need thee. So it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's a tipping point. Here's the understanding. Here's what I've been teeing it up the whole time. Here's where I rear back with a backswing and we launch it. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Folks, it's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. There is no reason to be reluctant or hesitant about coming unto the throne of grace. There is no struggle valid enough. There is no addiction strong enough. There is no circumstance that surrounds me that is bigger than my great high priest. Our past failures and our unwillingness to rely on Him previously does not forfeit the present permission we have through Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish the backsliders could get this. I wish that they could realize this. Listen, you're sitting there and the devil's playing mind games with you. And he's telling you because you've walked away and because you've done this and you've done that, that you can no longer come. But you need to understand that right here and right now, because of Jesus Christ, you still have permission. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. It doesn't matter what baggage hangs on you. You need to understand that right here and right now, let us come boldly. He wants us to come with confidence. He wants us to come with assurance, not in of ourselves, but in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, a new and living way which He has consecrated for us. My goodness. Listen, we are not orphans. We are not outcasts. We are not strangers afar off. We are not aliens. We are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. My past failures do not negate my opportunity to come boldly into the throne of grace in time of need. Say, you got a few more minutes? Say with me just a little bit longer. Listen, please, don't do yourself a disservice and sit outside the throne room wondering whether or not you are worthy. Just believe that you are through Jesus Christ. None of us, not a one of us would ever be worthy on our own. It's not about my worthiness, and it's not about your worthiness. It's about His worthiness, and He's already passed into the heavens, and He ever lives to make intercession for us. And so Jesus stands there in the gap between who God truly is and who I know Him to be. And in the middle of the gap stands Jesus Christ in grace, saying, come on in. Come on in. Brother Godwin touched on this Friday night revival service there in Joliet. It struck a chord in me, and I began to read it. I just began to kind of simmer in my soul. I went back to it, and I read it again, and God helped me see some other things that are there in that passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verses 22 through 25. I'll read them. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Touched on it, but I want to go a little further. She's a Canaanite woman. She's not of the house of Israel. She is seen in the eyes of the Jews as an infidel. Jesus even looks at her and says, listen, it's not meat to give the bread to the dogs. It's not meat to give the bread that belongs to the children to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He says, wow, I haven't seen so great a faith in all of Israel. I see more faith in an outsider than I do in my own children. That's what he says. You want to talk about the greatest rebuke there? It was not to the woman, it was to the disciples. I've not seen this great faith in all of Israel. John, you hear? I'm an Israelite. That's what he said. I haven't seen so great faith in all of Israel. This Canaanite woman, who at this point in time, the Old Testament, she's not heir to the promise. New dispensation's not there yet. And yet she cries out. And look at what she cries. Look at what she says first. She says, O Lord, thou son of David. Wait a second. This Canaanite woman knows something. O Lord, thou son of David. She's an outsider. But she recognizes him as a son of David? This David. Let me tell you what David she is referencing when she says, O Lord, thou son of David. She is referencing this David, Psalms 22, 19. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. This David, Psalm 40, 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. This David, Psalm 71. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. This David, Psalm 75, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. This David, Psalm 109, 26, help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy. Listen, this woman, I don't know how it happened, but this woman, though it's before the dispensation, it's before Calvary. This woman finds herself in Hebrews. help me. Have mercy on me. And the Bible says she worshiped him, saying, 3 of the most powerful words of worship you will ever utter and I will ever utter. You want to know what they are? Lord, help me. See, we think of worship as being this thing that we do where we give God these great accolades and we tell him how wonderful he is and we tell him how great he is and he hung the stars and the oceans and the creation and we try to build him up without... Do you really think he needs that? Do you really think that he's somehow deficient in who he is? Now, I'm all about that and we should praise him. But we need to understand praise is not for him, praise is for me. Acknowledging how great he is is part acknowledging how great I'm not. Say it with me. Do you recognize and do I realize some of the most humble words that you can ever say is simply, help me. Help me. I want to know how to really worship God. Come to him and say, Lord, help me. Well, that means I realize there's a deficiency here. You bet I do. I realize I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. My world needs you right now. I need you right now. And when she said, oh, Lord, help me, and she worshiped him, there was a part of it that said, listen, I'm not called but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this woman understands something. She's associating me with David, who numerous times in his writing looked heavenward and said, Lord, help me. So, he says, listen, I've not found so great faith in all of Israel. And the Bible says she came to him because her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. That's what she said. And she says, Lord, help me. And the Bible says that her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What are you saying, Pastor? This is what I'm saying. This Canaanite woman somehow came into Hebrews and came boldly before him who was full of grace and truth. And she said, help me. And guess what? She obtained mercy and grace to help in time of need. And if a Canaanite woman who was not heir to the promise could have enough faith to come before God, Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, help me, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour, how much more should you and I, with the understanding of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary, how much more should you and I understand some of the most beautiful words of worship we will ever utter unto Jesus are simply, Lord, help me. I'm closing, you can stand. There is more than enough grace to go around. His grace is sufficient. However big that gap is, the disparity between who God truly is and who I know him to be, the level of his perfection and holiness and righteousness, and then me way over here. Job said, heard of thee, but now with my eyes I behold thee, and I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes. I see the disparity between how wonderful and great and glorious he is, how sufficient he is, and how insufficient I am. There's such a gap. It there is such a disparity between the two. But thank God for grace. Thank God that even though the gulf is great, I can still come boldly into the throne room in time to find grace in time of need. There's enough grace there. Come on in and get your grace. Come on in, obtain your mercy. Come on in, you need to understand. He wants you. He desires you to come on in. Oh, but there's such a disparity. Listen, stop focusing on that. Stop looking at those things that would attempt to discourage you. And look at the one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. No. What is the height and what is the depth? What is the width? What is the breadth? Listen, you'll never go far enough that His arm cannot reach you. For His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor is His hand shortened that it cannot save. At any moment in time, in any place, very well-known evangelist in our movement testifies the time God dealt with him while he sat on a bar stool with a drink in front of him. God reached right there. What do you mean? He's in a place of ill repute. He's participating in what the Bible prohibits. What do you mean? Oh, you need to understand God's grace. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. What do you need this morning? Do you need the Holy Ghost? Well, I don't know everything there is to know about the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm still learning myself. But guess what? There's grace. It'll make up the gap. And God, His promise is unto you. And He'll fill you and thrill you with the power of the Holy Ghost right here and right now because He's that kind of God. Well, I've got this pain in my body. I've got this thing I'm dealing with. I don't know what's going on. He does. He knows. And there's grace to help in time of need. I wonder, have I gone too far? Have I made too many mistakes? Do I have too much baggage? No, you do not. You need to understand. You could come boldly into the throne room in time of need. There's grace for you. All over this house, can we lift our hands? Oh. It's better than what you can even imagine. It's more glorious than what you can even wrap your minuscule little mind around. It's more grandiose and more wonderful than I could ever wonder about. It goes beyond my wildest hope and fondest dreams.
Yes, Lord.
Thank God for grace that's in the gap, because in that grace I can find help in time of need. I can look heavenward and worship and say, Lord, help me. Whatever it is you're dealing with here this morning, you don't have to leave with it. Whatever you're going through, whatever situation, circumstance, you need to know there's grace to help. In time of need, if He can take away the sins of the world, He can take away your pain, He can take away your heartache, He can take away a disease, He can take away an ailment, He can take away an addiction. You need to know we serve that kind of God. He's here. He's here. You can find grace to help in time of need. There's grace here for you. There's grace here for me. Why don't you reach out? Don't sit outside wondering whether or not you're welcome. You're welcome. And whosoever will, let him come. You're welcome. Come on, the door's open. Come on in. Don't sit outside wondering what it would be like to come on in. Come on in. There's grace enough for us all.
When I call on your name, you answer.
These altars are open.
When I fall, you are
there's grace
there
to help
by my side.
In time of need.
You delivered me out of darkness.
Oh Lord, now thou Son of David, have mercy on
me. Of new life. By grace
Lord,
I'm free.
Help me.
You've rescued me.
Lord, help me.
And now all I am
don't
is
don't let pride
Lord.
Stop you. Come with humility and say, Lord, I need
I
you.
I found a love greater than life itself. I found a home stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost. Now I'm alive in you.
Preacher, I don't think I deserve an audience with him. None of us do. But thank God for grace.
When I call on your name, you answer.
What do you need?
When I fall, you are there.
My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory.
Deliver me out. Of darkness.
What deficiency are you dealing with?
I stand in the hope of your life.
Let the sufficiency of Christ make up the difference.
By grace I'm free. You rescued me. Now all I am is yours.
I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compared.
I once was lost, now I'm alive in you.
I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you.
I come alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you who I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you whom I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who sings. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger than nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I'm alive in you.
Thank you, Jesus. we lift our hands toward heaven. Thank you for grace. Thank you. I can come to you anytime, anywhere, for any reason, and know that I can find grace to help in time of need. I need thee. Oh, I need you. I'm not too proud to get on my face before you and cry out, oh Lord, help me. Help me. I need you. Oh, we thank you for your word. Thank you. Your presence, God. We thank you for grace. How wonderful you are, God. Beyond my imagination, my understanding limits you. You go far beyond, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. You're that wonderful of a God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Reminder, discipleship class, for those of you involved, beginning at 4:30 this afternoon. Department heads meeting at 6 o'clock. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Testing. Before you depart, we have a very special birthday in the house. Brother Jay Grimm has a birthday today. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Happy birthday, Brother Jay!